The vision we are speaking of has to be renewed every day, has to be right out front all the time, because mindfulness itself requires this level of awareness, of purpose, of intention. Otherwise, we might as well stay in bed. The practice itself has to become the daily embodiment of your vision and contain what you value most deeply. It doesn't mean trying to change or be different from how you are, calm when you're not feeling calm, or kind when you really feel angry. Rather, it is bearing in mind what is most important to you so that it's not lost or betrayed in the heat and reactivity of a particular moment. If mindfulness is deeply important to you, then every moment is an opportunity to practice. For example, suppose angry feelings come up at some point in your day. If you find yourself feeling angry and expressing it, you will also find yourself monitoring that expression and its effects moment by moment. You may be in touch with its validity as a feeling state, with the antecedent causes of your strong feeling, and the way it's coming out in your body, gestures and stances, in your tone of voice, in your choice of words and arguments, as well as the impression it is making on others. There is much to be said for the conscious expression of anger, and it is well known medically and psychologically that suppressing anger in the sense of internalizing it is unhealthy, particularly if it becomes habitual. But it's also unhealthy to vent anger uncontrollably as a matter of habit and reaction, however justifiable. You can feel it cloud the mind. It breeds feelings of aggression and violence, even if the anger is in the service of righting a wrong or getting something important to happen. And thus it intrinsically warps what is, whether you are in the right or not. You can feel this even when you can't stop yourself sometimes. Mindfulness can put you in touch with the toxicity of the anger to yourself and to others. I always come away from it feeling that there's something inadequate about anger, even when I'm objectively on high ground. Its innate toxicity taints all it touches. If its energy can be transmuted to forcefulness and wisdom without the smoke and fire of self-absorption or self-righteousness, then its power multiplies, and so does its capacity to transform both the object of the anger and the source. So if you practice purposefully expanding the context of the anger, yours or someone else's, right in those very moments that it is arising and peaking, knowing that there must be something larger and more fundamental that you are forgetting in the heat of the emotion, then you can touch an awareness inside yourself which is not attached to or invested in the anger fire. Awareness sees the anger. It knows the depth of the anger, and it is larger than the anger. It can therefore hold the anger the way a pot contains food. The pot of awareness helps us cradle the anger and see that it may be producing more harmful effects than beneficial ones, even if that is not our aim. In this way, it helps us cook the anger, digest the anger, so that we can use it effectively. And in changing from an automatic reacting to a conscious responding, perhaps move beyond it altogether. This and other options stem from a careful listening to the dictates of the whole situation. Our vision has to do with our values and with our personal blueprint for what is most important in life. It has to do with first principles. If you believe in love, do you manifest it or just talk a lot? If you believe in compassion, in non-harming, in kindness, in wisdom, in generosity, in calmness, in solitude, in non-doing, in being even-handed and clear, do you manifest these qualities in your daily life? This is the level of intentionality which is required to keep your meditation practice vital, so that it doesn't succumb to being purely a mechanical exercise driven only by the forces of habit or belief. In Walden, Thoreau cites a Chinese inscription on a bathtub. renew thyself completely each day. Do it again and again and forever again.